because hearing Rob's name alongside the words palliative care hit me far harder than I expected. Susie told me she was calling to ask if I wanted to come and say goodbye to him. "He's spoken about his family so often," she explained, "and I think he would like to have someone with him when the time comes." When the time comes, I couldn't quite absorb that. I could tell from the tone of her voice that the thought of Rob dying with no family beside him upset her. It was clear she wanted to help him and that she cared about what happened to him. I listened to her and couldn't help thinking she'd made a mistake. She had to be talking about someone else, because my father wasn't the sort of man people cared about. At least, not enough to go to the effort of calling around and trying to gather his family together one last time. That wasn't the man I knew in any case. That wasn't my father. If she knew our history, I thought, she'd understand there was no chance of any of us going up there. But Susie seemed determined. She had the key to his house, she explained. I could stay there while I visited him in the hospice. She could get the place ready for me, make up the guest bedroom. It wouldn't be a problem. "My grandma is his neighbor," she told me, "and I've known Rob my whole life. It would really mean so much to him, to all of us, really." She spoke about him as if he were family, and I didn't want to tell her it had been 15 years since I'd last spoken to him. But something about her voice, the kindness in it, and the fact she didn't ask too many questions, convinced me that maybe someone should be there for him. Maybe the past was not worth dwelling on. When I told her I would come up, I heard her sigh with relief and realized she must have called me last. Gina and Mom had already turned her down. This call had been her last shot. And I found myself wondering, how'd you get to know someone as nice as this then, Dad? "Listen, I just need a couple of days to sort some stuff out before I can make it up there," I explained. And Susie thanked me and told me she was looking forward to meeting me. Everything so polite and nice, as if he was a good man, an ordinary man, and not a father and husband who had long been estranged from his family. It was only when I put the phone down that it hit me, the crazy coincidence of it. Rob, of all people, coming through for me when I needed it most. How ironic. Will didn't react when I told him I'd found a new place to live, and I wondered if he'd practiced containing his relief beforehand, making sure to stay expressionless, not realizing it was this very reticence that gave him away. A silent hallelujah, but a rejoicing for all that. "I'll be out of here in a day or two, if that's okay." It was. "You need any help?" he asked. "I can help you move with your stuff if you want." So casual, as if I was just a friend who had stayed over for the weekend and not someone who'd shared a home with him for more than 5 years. This was how far we had deteriorated. "Thanks. It's okay," I told him. "I'm heading pretty far, so what I can't fit in the car, I'll need to leave behind. Is that okay?" "Yeah, sure. Where are you headed then?" And I counted the distance in my mind, all the miles from San Francisco to Newcastle, and wondered if it was far enough. "North," I told him, and left it at that. Newcastle. I had needed to look for it online after I'd spoken to Susie. I'd forgotten the precise location. Rob rarely spoke about where he came from. It was as if his hometown, his childhood, had never existed. The past? Something he preferred to forget. I'd taken a virtual wander around the town and the surrounding wilderness, overawed by the beauty of the mountains and the sheer vastness of the forest, and the way it all gave way at its edges to the dark expansiveness of the ocean. It seemed strangely tranquil, yet intimidating at the same time. Newcastle, some sort of in-between place where nothing of any note ever happened. Anyone looking for excitement or adventure would need to head to Seattle or the wilderness. Though my little internet excursion had thrown up a surprise, it seemed that Newcastle's biggest claim to fame was a series of child murders that had occurred in the 60s.